Recently, I had a Fairfield County resident reach out to me. She is part of the national movement called Visibility Brigade. You may be familiar. This has been in the news a lot lately. People who are standing on overpasses with messages, a lot of times with resistance, maybe hope, in again, politically charged sometimes messages. And again, we've talked about this certainly in Connecticut because it's become very controversial in recent weeks, even months. And according to, this is the founder and leader of REBS, R-E-B-S, the Connecticut chapter, Celeste tells me that out of the hundreds of groups across states, all across the country, doing this type of work, only three groups have been charged with a crime related to this type of activity. Two are in Connecticut, only in the towns of Fairfield and New Haven. And the ACLU has even gotten involved in this. So joining us now is Ed Miller is an attorney. And Ed, do you represent Celeste or do you represent the group? I just want to make sure I introduce you correctly.
Yeah, I represent the individuals in the group. I don't represent the group itself, but I represent seven individuals who've been charged with the crime related to their protests.
Okay. And as I mentioned before, the ACLU, I know, is now getting involved with these cases in Connecticut. Are you an ACLU attorney?
I'm not, but I've been coordinating my actions with the ACLU.
So, I mean, again, I know that you are representing people who are right now facing, it sounds like, charges for what, for standing up over the overpasses with signage, or talk a little bit about this case.
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting parts of the case is that it feels a little bit like the state police have been looking at the protests and trying to find some way to make them criminal. And so there's been discussion about whether it's a trespass to be on the bridge, which it's clearly not. There's some discussions around whether or not you have to have permission from the state, and you clearly do not. And so what my clients were charged with was a very obscure, over 20-year-old statute that has never been enforced before that basically makes it a crime to have a sign within 300 feet of a state highway that is potentially distracting to drivers. As I said, this is the only time the statute's been enforced. It ignores the fact that signs over overpasses have been used as protests, everything since the post 9/11 year to the time when Obama, after Obama's inaugural, both sides, left and right, have had protests. It also ignores the fact that the state allows hundreds of commercial signage within 300 feet of a highway, often much more potentially distracting than the signs that my clients held. So honestly, it feels a little bit like this is a group of people who want to suppress a message more than enforce the laws in a neutral way.
Attorney Ed Miller, I'm curious just from a driver's standpoint, and I, again, this might not be people holding messages on the overpass, but certainly we have seen in rallies, peaceful or not, where people can't get emergency vehicles through. Does that have anything to do with this argument as well? Just the safety behind this, or I guess the safety concerns behind this, or is this strictly because of distractions?
Well, our position is that it's neither, because our protesters literally hold the sign, usually has a couple words. This morning, they held a sign which said, protest is free speech. Literally, it's as simple as that. Stop fascism is another sign they've held. No different than another sign, you know, 20 feet away that advertises a attorney advertising, which is common along the highways, or advertises restaurants or many other kind of signage. So if our protests have the potential to distract drivers, well, then so do all those signs. Importantly, you mentioned emergency services. Very important to remember, my clients are standing peacefully on the sidewalk. Emergency cars are able to get by both around them on the side where they're standing, as well as underneath the bridge. So
okay.
There's never been any allegation that it's impacted emergency services in any way.
Okay. No, I was just figuring I'd ask that question as I know that that has been an issue in the past, but totally separate. Fair enough. And again, Attorney Ed Miller is here. Now, When you say it's comparable, for example, to billboards advertisements, you don't think that there's a difference between a standstill sign versus people moving around or waving around signage? And I only ask that question when I look at my back seat, for example. I've got a 7-year-old. He doesn't recognize billboards at all. I mean, he could care less, quite frankly, but he certainly does recognize when people are on the overpass, and let alone on the overpasses, waving around signage, things like that. So, I mean, there is a little bit of a difference, I think, between something that stands still and is always there and constant versus somebody that is moving. I think that is a little bit more distracting.
Well, let me say there's a very important difference between the two, and the one is protected political speech. And the Supreme Court has held over and over again that political speech is entitled to greater protections than commercial speech. And in fact, it's the highest form of protected speech in our country. But your question also ignores the fact that many signs are LED signs with moving text. Many signs have pictures that change. My clients are literally holding a sign with words that doesn't change. I really do think it is it's much more akin to all the other signage along the highways, again, with that great exception of our actions are protected, constitutionally protected speech.
What do you think about, you had mentioned state police before, recently Connecticut State Police were ordering troopers to start using body cameras in these situations. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a great practice. It's a great practice in every case. It's been it's a best practice now recognized across the country. And I think if you look at the way the troopers responded to my clients, by the way, the commissioner has promised that he would post those videos on the news site at the state police website, their homepage, and they haven't done that yet. They haven't posted them. But some of the videos that I've seen show that the police responded in a really unprofessional, very aggressive way. These are mostly elderly protesters standing, holding signs, and the police very aggressively attacked them, which in my mind reinforces the perception that they really are after messages. They're really not after public safety.
I did actually see an article, and again, we have Attorney Ed Miller here. There was a woman in her 70s who was arrested twice, I believe. This was in New Haven, I think. That case actually got dropped earlier this month, I found out. And so I was wondering, again, that's not your client, correct?
That's correct.
Just making sure. But again, in this situation, it sounded like something along the lines of Connecticut State Police seeing something online ahead of time. And, you know, when we talk about street takeovers or things that have been happening on our roadways, we've actually been praising police for being more proactive in handling things by seeing it first on social media. I do worry, certainly, that we get into kind of a gray area where I don't want police to stop tracking what they're doing online or what they're seeing online because, you know, for situations of street takeovers, for example, I'm glad that they get ahead of those. But in this regard, it sounds like in this New Haven situation, they had seen something ahead of time and then they responded. What are sort of your thoughts, Attorney Miller, on striking that balance? Because I do think that police are starting to use technology more appropriately, which is a good thing. But in this case, it does sound like they had seen it ahead of time, and that's when they went and arrested this woman in New Haven.
Yeah, I should be careful because I don't represent that person, and the only facts I'm aware of are those that are publicly available from the news media. But I will say this, that there's some evidence there that the police had the state police in particular had visited the scene, saw the signs, had some interactions with the people, and then went home and researched from the woman's Facebook page past activities where they're holding signs. Whether that's appropriate or not, you know, using the web, I don't really have an opinion on. I do think it's permissible, and I agree with you that there are many instances where that's appropriate. However, in this case, again, we have a person engaged in constitutionally protected speech. I really worry about the idea that that's so important to society that we're going to waste trooper time doing internet research to see if it's happened at other times. It just, it really seems to me, again, that you have a small group of individuals who don't like the message and are trying to find ways to stop it.
I do know, at least in the matter that was dropped in New Haven, that there's a direct quote from Ron L. Higgins, and he says that this was a, this did come down to safety, but that he has never told any state trooper to approach or to intervene with protesters, again, unless they, unless safety is on the line. And I just didn't know your response to that.
Well, Commissioner Higgins apparently is speaking in contradiction with the Secretary of Transportation, because we wrote to the Secretary of Transportation and sought a permit to protest on the bridge, because the statute that we were accused of violating indicates that you can't do it without a permit. And the Secretary of Transportation wrote us back and said that there isn't a safety issue and you don't require a permit. So I think that again, it leaves the feeling that the state police are alone out there, worried about potential safety issues, a sentiment that is clearly not shared by the Department of Transportation. And again, it leaves me feeling like they're more after the message than they are after the conduct.
Attorney Ed Miller, I want to thank you. When are your clients due in court to face charges?
Yeah, so we were told that the charges were going to be dismissed. I've had some back and forth with the state's attorney's office. I'm confident that they will be dismissed. If they're not, we're ready to go to court, but we don't have a date yet.
Okay. Attorney Miller, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time here on WICC, and certainly keep us posted on what happens next. I appreciate it.
Will do so. Thank you.
All right. Again, that is Attorney Ed Miller here on WICC. We're going to be right back.